New Zealand's red meat industry has released a policy change wish list, the goal being to tackle labour shortages and grow export revenues. This has gone out to every member of parliament and various officials with an influence. Andrew Morrison is Beef and Lamb's chairman, and he's with us this morning. Good morning.
Morning, Tom. How are you?
Yeah, very good. No harm in trying, I guess. What is the biggest bugbear now for the red meat sector?
Yeah, well, the biggest bugbear, and it's really interesting to see the incoming Prime Minister talks about too fast, too much too fast, and talks about cost of living crisis. So, look, we've been saying this consistently for about the past 4 years. We want to play our part in the environmental reprovisioning. By the same token, let's get the policy settings right. And if it's just stuff that is poorly crafted or conflicting rules that drive costs, you know, that's the stuff that we would like addressed.
Climate stuff, you mean?
Well, climate stuff, essential freshwater, Indigenous biodiversity, RMA reform, all those sorts of things. They all interlink. As I say, it's the crafting of them. We want to play our part, but if they're poorly crafted, they just lead to confusion and costs being driven into the sector.
And in what way are they poorly crafted? Could you give me a couple of examples of what's been done badly, Andrew?
I'll give you one example. Like the essential fresh water came out with very prescriptive sow-down dates, you know, national sow-down dates for winter crops, slope maps for stock exclusion, all almost kind of impossible to implement. You know, as I say, we want to do the right stuff, but if the policy is impossible to implement and really just turns into a you have to pay to get a consent to do something as opposed to a farm plan will deliver on that, that's the sort of discussion we're keen to have with government.
Is that the problem? They're not actually talking to you. They're just issuing orders out of offices in Wellington.
Well, we've tried to work really closely with them, and, you know, we want to continue to do so because, as I say, to get the stuff right. But, you know, some of the stuff, as I say, it's been poorly crafted due to the tight timelines and the conflicting nature of the rules. You know, we use climate change as an example, want recognition for sequestration on farms, but then we have a parallel Indigenous biodiversity NPS that just classifies everything as an SNA. And so it just becomes really confusing and hard on farmers to work out which way to go.
Yeah, I'm confused already with some of the nomenclature and the terminology. Let's step back from that. As an outsider, it looked to me like you've been having a great run. We've been getting great prices for New Zealand product overseas. It's certainly very expensive here as well. There's great demand. Why aren't farmers happy?
Well, fascinating. I've never seen the confidence so low in our sector because of a number of things. You know, global commodity prices are softening, you know, I mean, significant inflationary pressures on farm. And the other big one, you know, because this is in conjunction with Beef and Lamb, this is Meat Industry Association also, it's that lack of the immigration reset because MIA did a piece last, you know, week, $600 million on the table being lost because we just effectively cannot get staff into our plants to process our world, you know, world-leading product.
All right, so just step me through that, if you would. We're able to grow the animals, we're able to produce the meat, but we can't process the meat.
Yep, and this is happening in a lot of sectors. Right. This is happening in the horticulture also. You know, if you can grow a wonderful, wonderful product, but then you can't get it processed, or in the hort sector, you can't get it harvested, it's actually just a loss to the economy. And so, and simply that's around, we just do not have enough, we cannot source enough domestic staff and meat plants.
Okay, well, why can we not get the domestic people when we got 103,000 last time I checked work ready on the job seeker? Why do we have to bring in people from outside all the time?
Well, that's it. We'd prefer to employ New Zealanders because the wage rates in those plants are actually pretty good. So we'd prefer to employ New Zealanders, but sometimes it's a regional conversation and sometimes it's a what do people want to do conversation. And so, yep, you're quite right. In a perfect world, there would be enough New Zealanders, and in a perfect world, they would want to work in that sector. But we sometimes struggle just to fill those roles.
What do you think about carbon farming? Have they not woken up to what's going on there yet?
No, really frustrated with this one. This is the biggest bugbear in our rural community. Let's be clear, you know, red meat
sector. That's number one.
That's number one. Well, you know, because effectively you're offsetting an external pollution into rural communities and giving, with the policy settings, the ability to do that. 100% carbon offset as opposed to a bunch of other countries in the world where they have a limit on their carbon offsets as opposed to you don't have to stop fossil fuel use or reprovision your business, just offset it with trees. So we would certainly like that looked at.
Okay. I'm just we're talking to Grant Robertson later on about things that might make a difference. And so carbon farming, number one. Number two, immigration settings.
Yep. Number three, get the methane targets right and for this Hawke-Ekanoa process.
Oh, whoa, steady on, mate. I mean, how much do you want to try and fix it all in one go? This is the problem. We've been trying to do too much for too long. Appreciate your time, Andrew. It's helped understand a lot of stuff. Andrew Morrison, Beef and Lamb New Zealand Chairman.